Mate, it's an interesting question because I was in Ponsonby Central getting some dinner and I just had a random thought to give Eric a call. I've been wanting to own a rugby league club for a long time. I've always loved rugby league and I thought, nah, I'm just going to give him a call. So there it was. I called him and he actually picked up. Eric and I had never met or spoken to each other before. And mate, for some weird reason, he took the call and we just started chatting about the Warriors and what his plans were. And at that particular time, he didn't have any real opinion on whether he'd sell or not. But somehow, you know, he sort of, you know, he come to realisation that selling it's a good idea.
So how long ago was that?
Oh, I'd tell you it wouldn't be more than 2 weeks ago.
Right, so it was almost like a Terry Serapisos moment. You may not know the story. Terry Serapisos, when he eventually changed the Kings or the Knights to the Phoenix, was sitting in a barbershop listening to Radio Sport because they had it on and heard the club was up for sale and he decided, you know what, I'm going to buy it. Now, this was kind of a revelation moment for you, except you were buying food.
Mate, that's probably true, actually. I think subconsciously I'm always thinking about it, and I've looked at the Warriors over the years, and, you know, if you go back to the Daniel Anderson, Mick Watson days, and I was a Broncos supporter back then, so I used to hate the Warriors because they were so good, and they were onto a good. They really were, weren't they, mate? I mean, you know, you'd bet the Warriors were going to beat anybody on their day. But I tell you what really interests me back then, Vici, and this is the fact that they had all the junior development systems in place, and the Warriors was a club where people would take less to stay there. It just had that real Brisbane Broncos aura about it. And what I've seen over the years is that's slightly declining a little bit. And then, mate, I guess I'm a fan like anyone else, and I was thinking about the Warriors just going, well, they're in such a... Like, it didn't seem to be in such a great shape. You know, we've brought some big names in and whatnot, but it just seemed to not get off the ground. I just thought, you know, it needs to go back to those grassroots days when Eric was there driving it and he had some good people, and Daniel and Mick, who... Obviously, Daniel with the football and Mick with the business brain. They just took that club forward, and I just think, mate, you know, someone needs to do it.
Yeah, but the timing, respectfully, and Paul, you and I have got to know each other a wee bit over the years, and I was sitting back going, so you're a successful businessman, you've done unbelievably well with childcare, you're sitting back going, okay, let's make a smart business decision. The Warriors are probably at their lowest ever ebb, and what I mean by that is that I don't think I see an easy solution for this club. Now, I hear people, columnists, journalists saying, sack the board, sack Jim Doyle, sack the players, get rid of all these guys, sack Stephen Kearney. Why the hell now?
For me?
Yeah.
Mate, I just think the timing's right. I can see that. I mean, I'm just an observer like you are, Vici, you know, so I'm sitting back looking at the club and I'm going, well, the owner's not there. He's overseas. I'm going, they're bringing in Stephen, who, and I've never met Stephen, but, you know, he's obviously come to the profile. They've gone through how many coaches before Stephen, so it can't be Stephen's fault. But nothing seems to improve, and I'm just going, well, mate, I'm just one of those people that likes to make a difference, and I just think I've got the nous to go in there and make a difference. Otherwise, I wouldn't do it. So, I mean, yeah, why now? Why not now? I got no other way to put it apart from it just seems like the right time, and I thought I'd make the approach to Eric, considering that the Warriors is getting, you know, so much scrutiny for another failed season. I think, you know, anyone that's a fan or not even a fan, you just have to look at it and go, it's a failed season. There's no two ways about it.
I mean, Paul, look, my information is this, and you can comment on this or not, but my information is Eric's clearing out his interest in New Zealand full stop, which is across all sorts of businesses, his land, his properties over here as well. He's moving out of New Zealand as a businessman here. Is that the impression that you got when you made contact and said, hey, my name's Paul, I'm interested in buying the club, this is my background? Did you get a sense that Eric wants out?
Mate, I didn't actually.
Okay.
I got a sense from Eric that he still had a little bit of an emotional attachment to the Warriors. I think from what I could see that Eric was still fond of those old memories when the Warriors were doing well, and you got to remember he's taken them to two grand finals, so you know there's some good memories there. That on his other interests, business interests, mate, I mean, I didn't get any inclination of that, and to be honest, I haven't asked him.
So. Right, so what's happened since? I guess where I'm trying to get to here is with information loading for the public. Have you been to the club? Have you met with Jim Doyle? Have you been to training sessions? Have you done due diligence?
Yeah, I've, look, I mean, what's happened from there? I've I've spent a lot of time with Jim, and I've walked around the club and made some observations of my own. Look, I haven't gone down the training because I just don't want to be disrespectful, and I just think that the timing would be wrong to go down the training. I've seen plenty of training sessions anyway, so, you know, throughout the years, so they all look similar. But I think I've got a fair idea of where the club's at just through asking questions and observing. Due diligence, that process is starting, so... yeah, that's underway.
Yeah, I guess I'm asking this because I imagine you'd want to sit down with some of the key players here. And one of the questions that I ask a lot when I get them in studio, and I've had Sean in, I've had Manu in, he got quite emotional with me last year. Sean was frustrated because he believes the club and the players are trying, is you want to sit down with these guys, won't you, and say, okay, boys, tell me up front here, I'm a potential bidder, suitor for this club. What's the deal? What's going wrong?
Yeah, no, absolutely, mate. And I mean, I've made contact with a few of the players and just introduced myself as a potential owner. More of the senior players there, no disrespect to any other players, but I just thought I'd do the right thing by the senior players and at least let them hear what my intentions are and what's going on. Yeah, look, I mean, I've talked to Sean, and obviously he's managed by my business partner,
Peter.
So there's a direct, you know, connection there with Sean, and yeah, Sean, he's got some good opinions and some good views, but you know, it's funny, because you sit there and you're listening to Sean, and he just thinks like a halfback, which is great. So he's telling me from a halfback's perspective what he wants, but naturally he needs that. I'm just looking at it more from a sustainability perspective as well, going, what does the club need to be strong in the future as well? So, you know, you got to get the balancing act right, mate, because you still want to achieve on the field now, but at the same time, you know, if you don't sort the problems under the surface, they're going to remain there, Beachy. So,
Paul, I want to put the cards on the table more for the listeners here. I think you're aware of this. I like Jim Doyle. I respect Jim Doyle. I've had a lot to do. I'd love to work with Jim Doyle one of these days. Ironically, we talked about it a year or so ago with doing some stuff with the Warriors. I just think he's super impressive. I know the Australians really respect him, yet in New Zealand there seems to be this, you know, let's pummel everyone involved with this organisation, that Jim's a poor CEO and all of it. What's been his interaction with you like? What's been his reaction to you coming on board potentially as an owner? Does he want to stay with the club?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, from what I can see, Jim would want to stay with the club. I mean, he's obviously got an emotional attachment too, and Jim was the first one to say, oh, mate, when I went in there the first time I saw Jim, my first comments were to him, mate, you just look emotionally exhausted. And he said, yeah, I am, because he takes losing hard like anyone else, you know. You've got to remember, Jim's a fan of the Warriors. He's not just... He's not just someone on the books. You know, he's a fan of the club. So there's unfinished business there for Jim, I've got no doubt. But, I mean, until the dust settles, what that looks like, I'm not too sure. But I think a lot of that decision will come from Jim himself. But one thing I can say, and I've discussed this with Jim, is that, you know, he's got too much, knowledge with the NRL and also such a great reputation with the NRL to lose that. So, you know, Jim's a valuable asset. In that regard,
would you accept him as a part owner as he is at the moment, or would you want the whole thing, the whole kit and caboodle?
Mate, to be honest with you, Vici, I don't know what the agreement is between Eric and Jim. I actually don't know, so I haven't even looked into the shares. I know that might sound like a little bit negligent, but it's not. I'm just looking at it going, if Jim's a part owner of 10%, it's not really going to affect me too much. It just means I pay 10% less. So,
yeah,
I'm not too worried, mate, about that. But one thing I will require, and Eric knows this, and Eric's on board with that, is that whatever deal gets struck, I need to be in the driving seat.
Right, so where are we at now, Paul, with any potential deal? Now, obviously the media are going into speculation overload here with stories, and we'll get on to figures. Whether you want to answer that or not, that's up to you. But where are we at? Is it further away? Because I'm hearing out of Eric's camp that it's nowhere close, and then I'm hearing from other reports that actually it's not far away. What is truth and what is fact and what is fiction here?
I think there's probably an element of truth to both. Look, I'm going through a due diligence process at the moment. Eric and I haven't spoken too much in the last week. I mean, I talked to him today and just gave him some assurances that I'm not starting any of these, we're not stirring any giving out any information that's giving people the opportunity to speculate, because a lot of it is just speculation, Vici. At the end of the day, mate, I've got to go through a process now of due diligence, and I've got to dot the I's and cross the T's, and from there, Eric has the final say, so at the end of the day, mate, he's the one that makes the call because he owns it.
Righto. That number that was being reported a couple of days ago on the Herald of 15 million, Eric wants 20, is that wrong? Is that off the mark?
Look, it's wrong, but I don't really want to speculate on that because it's a personal, private matter. And, you know, I don't want to be disrespectful to Eric, and I don't want to sort of disclose that information at this stage. Once the dust settles, I'm quite happy to have a conversation about that.
Okay, so do you think, and this is the other argument here, why would you buy the Warriors? And I'm getting back to an initial question, but I'm more talking from financial terms here because we know clubs suck finances out of owners. We're looking at the Titans at the moment. I think there's a stat that Jim was telling me about a number of months ago that 12 or 13 of the clubs in the NRL lose money. So can you see this club making money, and are they making money at the moment or bleeding money?
Beachy, here's the thing. We're a one-country team. The club basically holds New Zealand Rugby League in the palm of its hands. The rugby league community in this country is buoyant when the Warriors are winning. I just go back to the glory days, and some will say we've never had a glory day because we never won a grand final, but there were some good days there for the Warriors, and it looked like it was heading in the right direction, and if it stayed on that path, there would have been better days. There's no doubt about that. So I look at it and go, you know, the country gets behind this team when they see the team going in the right direction. So on that note there, you know, I suppose you get sponsorship, you get, you know, gate takings, this, that, the other. So it's a sustainable business in its own right. But I just think that where it's going wrong is that most of the people that I talk to, and remember, I'm a fan at the moment, so most of the people that I talk to are just not happy with the direction of the club. Now, if you were to ask me that question, am I happy with it? I'd say, no, I'm not either. And I'm not pointing the finger at anybody in particular, but I just think it needs to take a different direction.
So in what way, Paul? I'd love to hear that. In what way would you like to see it changed?
Well, mate, and we always look to the greats, you know, when we're making these assessments. But, I mean, if you look at the All Black jersey, you know, they grow another leg when they've got that badge on their jersey, you know. And I think with the Warriors at the moment, I'm not disrespecting anyone because there's a few in there that would bleed for that jumper, but I don't think there's enough that bleed for the jumper. And I think, you know, you've got to get back to building the culture from the grassroots up. And I know we hear these terms, but anyone can say anything, but unless you can execute, it's just words. So, you know, we need someone that knows how to build a culture where people are prepared to sacrifice, accept less, and give more. And I don't think that the Warriors have that culture at the moment. I didn't think that before I went in there. So it's nothing that I've seen that's made me think that. I've always thought that. So, mate, I think that the New Zealand public will get behind a team. You know, let's be honest. Kiwis don't mind an underdog. We love it. So being the underdog's not the issue. I think it's a team that is heading in the right direction will capture the minds, imaginations and hearts of the New Zealand public again and give people that little bit of hope to turn up and keep the faith if you want it.
Yes, I get that. The thing I don't understand, though, and, you know, I've been off for a few weeks and I have read it all, and Roger Tuivasa-Sheck came out and said there's guys at training who have been laughing and dropping balls and not looking like they give a stuff. Basically, Stephen Kearney came out a couple of weeks ago on the back of, what, 4 losses in a row and said, I've got guys out there that aren't trying. That's my problem, Paul, as a fan like you are, and I've been covering this team for TVNZ since 1998. I love them. I love those rides where Francis Malley would score tries coming from behind, that try, Ipalamami, Lawaki, all those sort of guys, right?
Yeah.
But my problem is, I'm sick to death of hearing about these stories. I mean, Jimmy Maloney used to come on my radio sports show every Thursday and say, mate, I've got guys in that team. I'm not going to say who they are now, but would come on and say, you know, guys aren't trying. That's the Warriors. Now, that was 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was when Jimmy left. What sort of leader would you be? Would you expect naming and accountability of these guys instead of protecting them?
I don't think you'll have to see me name them, Vici, because you'll see my actions. It'll speak for themselves. I tell you what, I just wouldn't tolerate that because it's cheapening the jersey. So, you know, it's the old thing, eh? You know, if you're not monitoring your culture and protecting your culture, it'll corrode. And there needs to be accountability and there needs to be consequences for someone who's not being accountable. So, but that's the role that I would see I would play there is, I would firstly want to build the culture and then be the caretaker of it. mate, I think initially, and I know this sounds a little bit scary, and most Kiwis go, ooh, but I think initially we do need someone a little bit more dictatorial in there just to get a bit of order. And then hopefully at some point you get the team on board, the senior players on board that can carry that through and it can be player-led. But, mate, until you put the foundation in place, there is no foundation. And that's what I observe at the moment.
Okay, so what would be your philosophical view here? And I know you're still going through, Paul, your due diligence with this club, but let's say you find out there is, you know, rotting from wherever in that club, things need to change. Would you be okay selling or pitching this to your fan base if you were to take over the club, that this is going to be a complete rebuild, 2 years in the making, whatever it may be? Or do you believe this club has the potential to turn things around and be better next year?
Yeah, it's interesting. I believe both of those statements could be true. So here's the thing. If you look at the roster, I mean, you got blokes like Simon Mannering in there that, from my observation, mate, I mean, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders and he's playing fantastic. You know, he holds that forward pack together. You've got, you know, one of the world's best halfbacks, and I know that Sean comes under a lot of scrutiny, but, mate, if he was behind a dominant forward pack, the things that that bloke would do, I think we'd be giving him more praise than criticism, that's for sure. You know, you got a bloke in Roger Tuivasa-Sheck that I watch him taking, you know, hit-ups like a forward. Mate, he can't be more than, you know, 90 kilo, and he's doing a props job, you know. There's enough talent there, if you can get it right, I think, to do something. I mean, look, with that roster at the moment, I don't think that they're a top-four team, but they should be in the top eight. And then outside of that, yeah, we need to be looking at development and building from the grassroots up. I think one of the things that went wrong there, Veach, is if you go back to Daniel's day there, he implemented a whole lot of development programs for the young kids. So they were coming through and they were being educated. Now, when Daniel left, I'm not too sure there was too much development in there. I think most coaches were just trying to survive. So they were more worried about the results in the top team, because the Warriors seem to just go through coaches, you know, every 2 years. So development took a hit. And then obviously the young kids were winning anyway. The 20s are winning, but they're winning on natural talent and they're not ready for first grade. So I just look at it now that we look at the young kids coming through now and they're getting, you know, they're down the bottom of the ladder. Because I think most of the good ones have been snapped up by the Aussie clubs, and I just don't think that development's been high on the radar. So there's a couple of things that need to happen.
Okay, a couple of things to wrap up. Thanks for your time, as always. The word embarrassment has been used about this club because it's now 6 years and the results have just been, you know, you go back to all sorts of coaches and what happened have been appalling. And I just feel sad that the Australians are almost mocking us now about where the Warriors have got to. Do you feel that as well? I'm asking you as a fan.
Absolutely, there's no doubt about that. But I think there's a sense of frustration from the Australians as well. You know, you look at the diehard rugby league community over there, and they'd like to see the Warriors do well. I think half of them scratch their head.
Yeah. Would you look at bringing maybe Auckland Rugby League into the fold here, as it was when this club was founded back in '95?
I think it's a must, mate. I mean, I'm looking at it going, you know, I've heard of whispers of, you know, sending kids, you know, some of the juniors from the Warriors over to Australia to play in Jersey Flag and this, that, the other. And I'm looking at it going, no, we need to strengthen our own backyard. And the relationship with the Auckland Rugby League is crucial to that. It's a big nursery, Auckland. There's too many of the good kids going over to Australia. And once they're gone, they're lost. I mean, if I have a look at two really good players at the moment at Parramatta, both of these are late developers as well. You know, you've got Manu Ma'u, and I know he had his problems, you know, his personal problems there that restricted him playing, but he comes through the Warriors system, couldn't get a run. Then you've got Sawaya Martangi, who I've actually coached before. And, mate, they gave him an opportunity just as he was coming good. They let him go, and I'm just going, there's two really good players right there that are sitting over in Parramatta. Not to mention some of the young guys that are coming through. I think, you know, if you look in the Penrith team right now, and Penrith's a little bit like South Auckland out there, so the young guys go there and they feel comfortable. But, I mean, it's just got so many talented young Kiwis over there, and they should be playing for the Warriors, mate. It's crazy that they're not.
Maybe they don't want to at the moment. Do you feel that?
I do, but I also think that they weren't getting the development here. That's what I mean. I think that it's been a little bit about let's just get the big name signing for the top team and, you know, for the NRL squad, and let's not worry about the development. And for years they were winning anyway, but they were just winning on talent. So they get cherry picked. That's what I can see.
Righto, I leave you with this. When, I mean, what's, I go back to a question I asked you 10, 15 minutes ago, but time frame here, could it take weeks, days, months? What are you thinking?
Oh, I think the due diligence will take 2 weeks. And then from there, we'll make some pretty quick decisions. I think it's imperative that we do that, Vici, considering you've got player development and, player recruitment and all of that sort of stuff to worry about.